This is Over the Night with Matt Harab on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Harab.
Welcome back in. This is Over the Night here on SB Nation Radio. Matt Harab with you. And now joining us is Surat Sohi, NBA staff writer for SB Nation on the NBA. And of course, we have free agency coming up on July 1st. Okay, so Surat, I want to start with this. How stuck do you think the San Antonio Spurs are to this? No, we're not going to trade Kawhi to the Western Conference thing, because the Lakers have, in my opinion, the most incentive to give away a lot. The Spurs can get back the best haul from the Lakers, I think. How set do you think the Spurs are on that mindset of not trading to the Lakers, even though we heard yesterday that talks open back up?
You know, I think that if the Lakers kind of just waited out a little while, and I understand that there's incentive not to, especially with so many different balls in the air, and obviously if you bring in Kawhi, your chances of getting in LeBron are, like, they're pretty much a lock, in my opinion. But I think after a while, the dust is going to settle, and the Spurs are going to realize that if Kawhi is not going to commit to any other team, then they're not going to give him a good offer. They're certainly not going to give him better than what the Lakers give him. So I feel like the time to move for the Spurs is really right now. And if you're the Lakers, I think the longer you wait, the worse a package you can probably put together and give.
I'm totally with you.
When you look at the fact that Philly's not putting really anything in there, I don't know what's going on, but that kind of gives me the sense that they don't think that Kawhi would commit to them. Because I think if there was more commitment, then, you know, you would see a lot more traction on their end.
Well, Surat, that was my next question. What kind of package do you think Philly could offer? Because, I mean, if I'm Philadelphia's general manager, which I don't believe they have a general manager still right now, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are off the table, right? Like, what else would they be able to give that would entice San Antonio to give away Kawhi?
Well, here's the thing. Like, now they got to, at a certain point, cut loose with all these picks that they've got. They've got two first-round picks, and one of them is a Miami one, and they have one next year, which is, like, a little bit complicated. I can't remember the exact details of the pick, but those are two first-round picks that aren't their own. Pretty good picks, by the way. And then three second-rounders as well. You put that together with, I don't know, you get Covington, and I don't think they want to trade Saric, and I think Saric is more valuable to them than he is to really anybody else. That's probably a good reason to just keep him in a trade. But even adding a guy like Fultz, like, I don't think about that one too much. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is a top five player in the league, and Markelle Fultz is a, you know, I hope he turns out as good as he was supposed to. But right now he's a guard from a small school who forgot how to shoot.
Yeah.
So, you know.
No, I'm with you. I mean, I don't know how much trade value there could possibly be for him. I mean, from everything we're reading, his shot's broken right now. Surat Sohi is our guest, NBA staff writer for SB Nation. You can follow her on Twitter at Damian Trillard. Okay, so when it comes to San Antonio and Boston, who do you think would be the most enticing piece for San Antonio to get back? Would it be Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown? What kind of package could Boston piece together to get Kawhi, do you think?
I mean, sorry. I got their names mixed up as you said them right away. But Jason Tatum is absolutely he's the best piece out there out of all of the potential assets he could have. He's going to be a superstar. I mean, he's on track to pretty much be a perennial all-star at least. And that seems like the guy that Boston doesn't really want to put in any deals, and you can kind of understand why. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown is I think building a package around him is definitely more tenable for Boston. Obviously, when the guy like Jason's out there, I think the Spurs are going to hold out hope that they can get him, but I don't see them moving their 19-year-old stud for a guy with a pretty heavy injury history, especially if there's no committal from him.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So I want to go to Paul George here. News coming out today that Paul George is opting out of his contract. Now, this was expected, right? I mean, there was no – was there any financial – because people were freaking out on Twitter today. Oh, but he's going to the Lakers. But there was no financial benefit for him to opt into this contract, right?
Yeah, it doesn't really make much sense. This is there's a whole bunch of money out there in free agency right now. This is the year to – I mean – Paul George is a max player regardless, but this is the year that he has a bunch of options. And, you know, for him, I think he's at an age range where, like, the sooner he locks into his next deal, the better the chances are of him getting another max on the back end of it.
Yeah. No, without a doubt. Sarat Sohi is our guest, NBA staff writer for SB Nation. You can follow her on Twitter at Damian Trillard. Okay, I want to go back to the Lakers for in a possible deal with Kawhi Leonard. In a perfect world for Los Angeles, let's say Los Angeles could dictate this trade however they would like to do it. Which prospect do you think they would be most likely or most keen to part ways with? Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, or Kyle Kuzma?
No, I mean, it would definitely have to be Kuzma in that instance, I think. I mean, Kuzma's good for winning now, so I see the appeal of having him if you do trade for Kawhi. But he's definitely the lowest ceiling guy on that team by a long shot, I think. I don't really think that's it's really even close. I think it becomes much closer if it's Lonzo and Ingram. I think Lonzo is actually getting a little bit underrated in these discussions because of what Ingram represents, what he can be in the NBA, and Lonzo has that LeVar Ball baggage, and his shot's a bit of a question, but he's just such a high IQ player, and he's so incredibly young. Like, he's gonna find a way to figure it out at some point, and in the meantime, he's 6'6", he's pretty athletic, he knows how to run an offense, and he's 20 years old, so, you know, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he is pretty good. How happy do you think? I mean, this was a great rookie class this year, obviously, with Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum and Ben Simmons winning Rookie of the Year. And so, people were making fun of Lonzo Ball because his dad said he was going to win the Rookie of the Year, and then he didn't really care about the Rookie of the Year because Lonzo Ball was not involved in that award. But when it comes to internal evaluation, how happy do you think the Lakers and Magic Johnson were with Lonzo Ball's rookie year?
That's an interesting question, because I think it's impossible not to compare, right?
Yeah.
Of course you can't compare him to Ben Simmons, who won the Rookie of the Year. He's in a different draft class, I think, as Donovan Mitchell will remind you again and again and again. But, I mean, when you look at a lot of the stars that came, look at a lot of the picks that came after him, I think, like Tatum, for example, at third, it's impossible to say that Lonzo had a better season than him. Mitchell at 13, although 12 other teams also passed on him, so it's probably not the best comparison. I think Lonzo's on track for what he's supposed to end up being, but that also puts him at a lower ceiling than I think a lot of the other guys in the draft. And yeah, I think that's got to be a little bit of a disappointment. Not because I think early season he definitely had some struggles. And the shot is definitely one of those things where, like, I don't know what to tell you. It's really streaky. There were times in the back end of the season where it looked like he was turning it on, but just with a small sample size. I mean, if he comes back next season as a 40% shooter, then I think you're kind of good. Because then he's exactly what you want in the modern NBA. If he's not, then you got to be a little bit disappointed.
No, I think a modern NBA, absolutely, 100%. Right. Sarat Sohi is our guest, NBA staff writer for SB Nation. You can follow her work on Twitter at Damian Trillard. Okay, so I want to go back to LeBron and Cleveland here. What are the chances right now as we stand, do you think, that LeBron would even remotely consider staying in Cleveland? And two-part question. Were you surprised that Cleveland kept that top 10 pick and didn't trade down with anybody?
You know, I definitely wasn't too surprised about that. I think they got a good guy in Colin Sexton too. I think he's going to be really good, actually. So, and I'm pretty happy with what they did. I think Capstan should be pretty happy with that. LeBron's, unless they trade for Kawhi Leonard, right? Like, that's kind of like the only real way that I can see him staying. Yeah. I think family seems to be a bit of a concern for him, but, I mean, you can definitely really settle down in L.A. with your kids. And, like, they play basketball. It's such a great place to be a prospect. You know, it's a... to me, all signs really point to L.A. I think if they get another star down there, I think it's a no-brainer for him. I don't really know what the Cavs can do to deter him. I mean, above all else, I'm pretty sure LeBron is sick of making Dan Gilbert money, so
yeah,
he'll be happy to stop doing that.
Do you think that's a big reason why? I mean, you've heard LeBron say loyalty, loyalty, and his family's in Cleveland. He's front of Akron. But ultimately, if he had a good relationship with the owner, this might be more of a decision, right? I mean, he does not have a – how would you describe the relationship between LeBron James and Dan Gilbert right now? There's quite a lot of distance, right?
Yeah. I mean, they don't really seem like they're on talking terms really at all. I think for the most part, when they were, when they had stuff to talk about, there was generally an intermediary or somebody else that LeBron would deal with in the front office as opposed to Dan. And
that's not good.
No, I think I don't. Yeah, no, it's not. I don't think that the fact that he is Dan Gilbert is as big of a problem as the fact that, like, look at the team that they constructed around him.
Yeah. No, no, absolutely. Sarat Sohi is our guest, NBA staff writer for SB Nation. You can follow her on Twitter at Damian Trillard. Okay, so I'm reading a report here. The Dallas Mavericks are actively trying to trade for DeAndre Jordan, and I would think that that would be this doesn't surprise me at all, as the Clippers just traded for Marcin Gortat. How likely of a deal, or how likely do you think that is, that he could go to Dallas?
He could always just go there and then change his mind at the last minute, so it's hard for me to say. But I don't know. Like, it's a, I think it's a definite possibility. When you look at the place the Clippers are in right now, with a bunch of lottery picks coming in, they could definitely compete for the next year. It's going to be kind of interesting to see if they want to take on a contract like Wesley Matthews, for example. And well, Dallas also traded their first-round pick in these playoffs, too. So, I mean, sorry, in this draft, too. So that's another piece of sweetener that they can really give to the Clippers in order to take back one of those contracts. But I think in general, like, Ballmer's a guy who's not really afraid of spending too much money. He's pretty much gone on record and said that, you know, for the right basketball decision, he will spend. So I think it's a matter of whether you're kind of willing to dig into that vault and give the Clippers something that they would want for one of their contracts. And that, you know, that could be, they could also just turn around and, like, kind of try to make some of the some smaller deals work, but it seems like they're going to have to take something big back. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's one of those things where it seems like it's going to happen, so I don't want to say it will, but I'll say it won't. We've heard so much about it, but if I hadn't read a news report or anything about it, I would kind of look at the construction of both those teams and the assets they have and think, like, oh, is there really a not ugly way to make this happen? And I don't really think there is.
Yeah. I want to go back to the Celtics here for a second, because I heard, I think it was maybe Stephen A. talking about it, and there were some articles about, oh, well, you know, Terry Rozier was so good in Boston last year, and they made it all the way to the East Finals last year. Would they possibly entertain trading Kyrie Irving? And so when it comes to the Kawhi Leonard talks, we were talking about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Do you think if the San Antonio Spurs called and said Kawhi for Kyrie right now, do you think Boston would do it? Do you think that deal could get done?
I think that could absolutely get done. You don't know that Kyrie is coming back next season. And also, it gives a little bit of breathing room for Boston's contention, I think. My biggest concern with Boston and Kawhi, and not to say that it would be, like, too big of a problem, at the end of the day, like, forget everything else, whoever gets Kawhi, regardless of whether they give a little bit too much, is going to inherit top five player in the league. But you're hedging it's a good idea to hedge your bets a little bit. And with a roster that's going to have, hypothetically, Kyrie, Kawhi, and Hayward, not that there's anything to complain about. That's one guy that's coming off of a very serious ankle injury, and another guy who played, I think, 9 games this year, and Kyrie, who has always had bad injury history. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's, after everything that Boston's done, all these smart deals that they've made and these smart draft picks that they've made, if that's what they want to rest all their hopes on.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Sarat Sohi has been our guest, NBA staff writer for SB Nation. You can follow her on Twitter at Damian Trillard. Hey, thank you very much for staying up. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, no worries.
We are back after this on SB Nation Radio.